Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week we're bringing back one of my favorite authors, Lee Murray. So we're going to talk about her new book, and we're going to talk about Into the Mist, and we're going to talk about writers and writers' conferences and how to make contact with other writers. Welcome back, Lee.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
It's wonderful to have you back. For those who haven't listened to, you chat, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself and your background?
I'm a New Zealand writer of speculative fiction, so science fiction, fantasy, and horror. I live in the capital, sort of a windy place, and I write from a tiny little porch of 1.5 meters squared, and I write pretty much all fiction, so yeah, that's me.
For us poor Americans who haven't ever transferred to metric, can you tell what 1.5 meters square is?
Yeah, 5 foot by 5 foot. Basically, I lie on the floor, I can just fit, so 5 foot by 5 foot, there you go. It's teeny, teeny, but it's just perfect. It's a snug off the living room, and so I can close the door on it. And but I'm also part of a family, if the family are gathered around and I happen to be in my office, that's quite good. So,
do you before we start talking about the other subjects, when you're writing, do you work in a specific place or do you work wherever you feel like working? Do you have, like, your own niche that you want to work in?
Yeah, it really depends. If I'm writing, I write in my office pretty much all the time. I don't do the longhand thing. I know a lot of writers write longhand and then transfer their notes. I write in my office. If I'm reading material or to review, then I try and do that in bed if I can. I'm a girl for my creature comfort, so any reading I like to do somewhere, on the window seat with my knees tucked up. But I love to read in bed. It's just, I guess it comes from childhood days, when Mum and Dad used to read to us in bed before we went off to sleep. And reading in bed is just the best. So if I'm reviewing something or reading for pleasure, then That's what I do. And I think as a writer, you have to read in your genre. You have to know what's coming, what's out there. You have to stay fresh. So it's really important for writers to read. And so that's where I do that fun stuff, that sort of fun part of my writing. And critiquing I do in a coffee bar with colleagues, which is always a nice excuse for coffee. And when you're critiquing, which of course is sometimes quite hard because people will be pulling apart your baby, your writing, and saying, oh, this doesn't really work for me. And it can be so hard. So having that, opportunity for, oh, look, I need to have another coffee, just kind of softens the blow a little.
I know how you feel. I feel the same way. I'm always telling new writers, whatever you do, whether you write short stories or fan fiction or poetry or whatever kind of writing you do, or, you're starting your first screenplay, please read. It's so important. Yeah. Read.
Oh, absolutely. And it's almost a luxury for many writers. They've got deadlines and anybody. Often they're trying to fit their writing around other work, and it's just a treat, and it's an essential treat, if you like, if you're a writer, I think, to know what's out there. So.
Yeah, I'm like you. I like to read in my bed, usually with my cat attached to my hip. She always does that when she sees me beginning to read. She curls up right against my hip, and if I move slightly,
yeah. Well, there's got to be some treats, don't there?
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk today about networking and different places you can network. What is your, when you first started, how did you start networking? I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah. When I first started, I started scribbling, and I had a bit of a manuscript or half of a manuscript, and I went along to sort of one of the local community colleges courses, actually, just to sort of feel, oh, I need to know what's happening, because I was just scribbling. And so I went along to a community college course, and the instructor there actually turned out later to be a very good mentor of mine, and she said, hey, we have this group, this local group that meets once a month, you should come along. And so I joined a club called Tauranga Writers, which is New Zealand's longest running writers group. It's been around for 50 years next year, so that's exciting. And met an absolutely fantastic group of people. And so that was the first time I'd really actually got my writing out and said, hey, you should, you know, can you look at this? Tell me what you think. And they were so supportive. And it is really important to have fresh eyes on your writing, people to give you advice. And they just gave me so much encouragement, and I kind of went from there. So now I think I belong to about 10 writers' groups and on the committees of a couple, and they're a fantastic resource for writers to meet with other people who are interested in the same genre and the same and just improving your craft. It's a writers groups are really a great resource for writers.
And if you're kind of stuck at home for whatever reason, there are a lot of writers groups online. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them in Yahoo groups. There's all kinds of, it's not an excuse not to join a writing community because you can't leave
at home. Opportunities at all levels. You know, you don't always have to pay to go to be a member. There's a number of, you know, things like social media provide lots of opportunities for critique groups and discussion groups. So that's always, that's a good place. Your local community is always a good one. There's often a local writing group where you can actually meet with other people, get out of the house and see what other people are writing and you know, and also because you can draw on your local community for your writing. Obviously, I always write about New Zealand and most of my work has a New Zealand flavour. So I think it is important. And the people you meet, the contacts you make, you know, I guess for me with joining a writing group, a lot of people look and say, oh, I've got to pay that membership and I'll never get that money back. And for me, I don't kind of look at it like that. I always sort of think, well, if I join a group like this, we have a common interest, you know, how can I promote that common interest with these people? What can I do to promote this thing that we're all interested in? And it's almost a function of that. You know, when you engage and you meet people, then nice things will happen, you know. You meet people who are like-minded, who are interested in the same sort of thing. And someone might say, hey, well, look, you know, I'll have a look at your book. And or they might say, look, hey, have you thought of this publisher? Or, you know, you need to meet with this person because we need someone for a panel for this. And then, you know, things just happen, lovely things just happen as a result. And so it's not a case of thinking, what can I get out of it? You know, if you think, what can I give? Automatically the rewards will come. I think that's perhaps a better way to look at it. But certainly I can't impress enough on writers to join a professional group or even a casual sort of writing group to get some sort of contact with other writers and see what's happening out there in your genre, in your community. And as far as readers go, you know, people ask me, oh, well, I'm a reader. Should I join? You know, should I join a group like that as a reader? And I would say, well, yes, if you want to join and you want to be involved and promote that group and promote that kind of writing or read that kind of writing, for sure. But just following the website is always a good one because, you know, you can read the interviews. There'll often be interviews about emerging writers coming through and what work they're putting out, new films, screenwriting and that kind of thing that's being, film projects, things like that being done. You often get a first look at the books coming out and engage with those writers talk to them about what you liked and didn't like about their last book, so they can improve upon that for the next book. So for readers, is, you know, you say, well, why would I join a professional writing group, or why would I join a group? You know, I'm just a reader. But in fact, writers write for a readership, and so having, you know, engaged readers is always fantastic. It's a great opportunity for the writers to have readers join in and engage in the discussion. So, yeah.
Readers are important because we writers need people to read our stuff before we publish.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, that's one of the major things
what
we need.
Well, you know, it's not like a piece of art. You know, you only have, with a piece of art, you really only need one person to like it and buy it and stick it on the wall. With a book, then, you know, you really need more than one person to read it. A lot of people say, well, you write for yourself, and there is an element of that. Absolutely, you do write for yourself. But you also want to be read. You want your message or your story to be out there and people to be enjoying it. So, I think that contact with readers and having readers pop into the website and read the interviews and have a look and see what's happening in the community is always, it's always really exciting.
There also is another aspect is that you were talking about people connecting and stuff. One of the things that I found very helpful for myself is that when you connect with other writers, you find places to promote your book that you may not have ever known of before. Like they're both in person and online, they may have like a book fair that you never knew about, or an online event that you never even heard of before. You have to connect with other writers for, like, not just for inspiration and for backup, but even the dreaded promotion, you need them.
Yeah, I think that's probably true, although a lot of the promotion you get is by the by. It's somebody else has read your book and they might write you a nice tagline or a review, or they'll say, would you like to come on my blog? I'm talking about this today, and you know, you've written about that. Would you be interested? And there's all those opportunities, obviously, which is always nice. I agree. There's those promotion opportunities for sure. One of the interesting things that I did was my colleague Dan Raybatz put up a writing exercise on a Facebook group once about, you know, oh, here's this Reddit thread about the creepy things it could say. Hey, we should use this as a writing exercise. And about 37 or 40 people came together and we all did a writing exercise based on this Reddit thread, and then we thought, oh, we'll make it into a book. And that book turned into Baby Teeth, which won a few awards and has done very well. It's a charity collection. But the interesting thing about that is that, you know, obviously that networked a huge number of New Zealand writers and some Australian writers. I think Jake Bible's in it, so an American writer. It was just a wonderful, wonderful networking opportunity. And then as a result of that, I think I've worked with Dan on about I don't know how many projects we've worked together on, putting together the writers' program for the National Science Fiction and Fantasy Conference. We've written a collaborative novel together. You know, he's just finished writing the screenplay for The Feast Tale, which is my Sir Julius Vogel Award-winning story from the Refuge Collection, which you'll remember we talked about that on Blog Talk Radio a little while back. So you know, I had this opportunity to meet with Dan, and as a result of that particular writing group, which just arose out of a Facebook group, to be honest, I've had this incredible collaborative opportunity to work with Dan, who's a very talented New Zealand writer. So, you know, there's these things that just happen, you know, they sort of evolve out of these networking opportunities, which you just don't know what they might lead to. So it's always interesting.
Yeah, and it helps to a writer is very lonely. We spend most of our time alone. So it's good to talk to other writers just so you have that human contact.
Yes, we are a little bit zombie-like sometimes in our offices, that's for sure. That's for sure. So, hey, Sherry, I should really ask you what you're writing at the moment, because I know you've got a couple of award-winning books out there. So tell me what you're writing right now.
Right now I'm working on a children's book. It's going to feature my cat, who is a little scamp, and she gets into a lot of trouble, so it's sort of funny. She gives me source material all the time, so I thought it would be fun, and it's really shaping up to be pretty good.
Oh, good. Look, you know, people always say, well, there's only a few words in a picture book, but we'll just put that out overnight. We'll be able to turn that out, no trouble. But in fact, writing a picture book is a lot harder than people imagine, because every word has to count, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's actually harder in some ways than regular prose, because you have to balance the pictures with what you've written, and it has to be in the right way, and it has to be very attractive for children to look at. There's a lot of different things you have to think about when you're putting a children's picture book together.
Yeah, absolutely. And working with an illustrator, of course, too, that if you're not illustrating it yourself, then working with an illustrator actually brings something different to the work, I think.
Well, luckily for me, my illustrator is one of my oldest friends, so all I have to say is, this is what I want, and she'll give me four different ideas.
That does give you a decision to make about where you'll take it and which one is the best fit for your story. And, you know, it's actually quite a juggle, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and she's so talented, and we're partners when we are doing stuff like that, because she hasn't started on that project yet, because I'm just putting the pictures of the little brat in and my words, so that's my cat. My cat is my little brat.
So we can expect that in a few months, a year? What are we looking at, Sherry?
Hopefully in a few months. Hopefully by the end of the year.
Cool.
Yeah,
nice.
I just sent her the information, so she should start. She's going to be doing the front and back cover, and the pictures inside will all be my cat Zena, although I won't use her name because it's a copyrighted name.
Yes, that's true. Oh well, I will look forward to that. That will be good.
But she's so cute, and if you look at my Instagram page or my Facebook, you've seen all her pictures, and she's extremely photogenic when she will sit still for half a second.
Cool. That's cool. Well, kids do love animals, so you're probably onto a winner there, Sherry.
I hope so. So I know you have a lot of projects that you're working on. What one would you like to talk about today?
Oh, a lot of projects. Well, I'm really learning some new things at the moment, Sherry. My novel Into the Mist came out in April, and I think it's the print version is just going into distribution now. So it came out in April. It's doing very well. It's a military monster thriller, so horror. With Cohesion Press in Australia. And so I'm working on the sequel for that, which is a new thing for me because, you know, it's one thing to write a book and then to write the sequel. And when you're writing a sequel, what I've learned is that readers are looking for more of the same. They like the book, so they if they're going to buy a second book, they want more of the same. And the challenge for a writer, which is new to me, is that you have to write more of the same. So you can revisit the characters, you find a similar setting, you maybe put your monster in, you know, but you don't want to write the same book. So the challenge for me is to write something engaging and fresh and, you know, but provide those same elements that readers readers, you know, said they liked in reviews and when they've contacted me. So it's not that easy. So I've thrown out one whole draft. I just like, no, that's rubbish. I don't like it. So I've started over. But I'm hoping to get that finished just sort of by the new year. So Cohesion has indicated that they'd like it. So we hope to see that out in the new year. In 2017, so that's fun, and I'm really excited about that. And the and I'm also writing a sequel to Hounds of the Underworld, which is the collaborative supernatural crime noir novel that I wrote with Dan Raybarts, and that's been picked up by Raw Dog Screaming Press in the United States. So those two novels, actually. So we're writing the second one at the moment, and the first one will come out in 2017. So we're really excited to be there. It's a quirky kind of novel. It's a series. It was a hard one to place because it is quite a quirky novel, and it needed an innovative publisher, someone who could really see, you know, what we were trying to do. And we were really lucky to be able to have Jennifer pick that up. And so once again, I'm back writing another sequel. So, again, here's a situation where I needed to think, well, you know, readers will want more of the same. And so, you know, how can we give them more of the same using these characters and the elements which make the book what it is, without basically reinventing the wheel and giving them the same book. And then I'm also writing a sequel to a piece of middle grade fiction, it's called Dawn of the Zombie Apocalypse, and it's a middle grade story about a young boy who downloads something off the internet and creates a zombie apocalypse. And I'm writing a sequel to that, which is called Dawn of the Mutant Invasion. And so, again, trying to use those characters, put them in a slightly different adventure and still be fresh and engaging. So it's a new process for me, this whole writing a sequel and, you know, making sure you've got those long story arc threads still there. So, yeah, it's been a very big learning curve in terms of craft for me this year.
Good. So I can go to you for my other book that I'm working on because I have it's going to be a series and I'm going to have sequels and I've never done it before and I'm like very, very nervous about it.
Well, we've just been saying how important it is to network with other people and I think that's so true. You know, if you can look for professional development opportunities where other writers have been there and done that and have some tips, then, you know, there's always some gems to be learned from other writers. So, you know, when I've struggled through this, I'll let you know what I've learned, Sherry.
Thank
and you.
You
can, and you can
notes.
Avoid my mistakes.
Take notes.
Okay, I'll try.
We don't have a lot of time. Do you have any events that you like to let people know about, either in person or online?
Yeah, I'm really lucky to be going to Book Expo Australia. If people look at my website, it's www.leemurray.info. My schedule's up there. I'm heading over there for 2 days. I think it's the 8th and the 9th of October. And I'll be on the Cohesion stand. So I'll be there with some fantastic writers, Greg Beck, Alan Baxter, Karen Warren, so some top writers and editors. And I'm looking forward to meeting the Cohesion team, actually. They've been fantastic. They've really taken such wonderful care of my novel, Into the Mist. And I just can't wait to meet them because they've just been fantastic behind the scenes. So that'll be great. So I'm looking forward to that and hopefully meeting, you know, some readers. And there'll be some interesting panels there about mythology and collaborative writing. So, yeah, so that's what's coming up on the scene in the next couple of weeks.
And for my Australian listeners, where in Australia is it?
Oh, that's in Sydney at the Rose Hill Showgrounds.
Okay. Just so everybody knows.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's going to be the place to be that weekend. I think they're expecting 10,000 visitors. So But lots of giveaways and new books out there. I think Greg Beck's Fathomless, for example, is available just as an art copy. So, you know, readers will want to get a hold of that before it actually comes out. So there'll be some great offers, I think, for readers if they come along to that in person.
I love those book expos. I've been there's a huge one that they have at UCLA every year. University of California at Los Angeles, just so you know what that means. And it's so cool because, like, you get to meet all these amazing writers that you never, ever thought you'd ever, ever, ever meet. It's just, they're always exciting, those expos. So if you're in the area or you're traveling to Sydney, go.
Yeah, and it always pays to bring a wheelbarrow too, because there's often some great bargains, and you can come away with signed books, which is lovely, you know, to have a signed book by the author and actually talk to them about it. So I always come away with more books than, you know, I've got space for in the bookshelves.
And you know those big bags they always give you? They're so hard to carry.
Yeah, bring your own tote bag. That's exactly right.
Because they always rip, you know, or the top like comes off, you know, the little plastic thing that's hooked to the bag.
Oh no, look, real book lovers like us, Sherry, we have to be prepared. We have to come with a decent canvas bag and we can stuff as much as we can in it.
Exactly. We're at the end of the show. Thank you
for
coming back on. I know, isn't it amazing how quick a half hour goes?
Sure does. It's been lovely. I've always enjoyed my time with you, Sherry.
Thank you. And I hope I get a chat with you next year when you have more books.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. Let's pencil that in. Let's do that now.
Okay. We'll do that after the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Sherry. It's been lovely.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.